The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Discord in downtown Internetsville. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Mostly. Kind of.
Yeah, and then it plays the music. So.
Why are we the bootleg version of our own show?
That's what COVID will do to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's WrestleMania week, and I'll be damned if we ever here at Podzilla 1985 miss a WrestleMania preview. Hunter, our first show that we've ever done was a WrestleMania preview.
Yes, it was. There were four of us. We had no clue what the fuck we were doing.
No.
And it went almost 3 hours.
Yes.
For a show that, as I recall, ended up not even being all that great.
No.
It was not one of the great WrestleManias of all time.
I thought you meant the show we did because Zach Price was on it, so I was going to agree with you.
Also accurate.
Yeah.
I agreed with you.
Yeah, and the only good part about that show was that Jesse was still doing Pence a Nerd. I think it was called... No, it was called... Yep. Was it Pence a Nerd? Yeah. And we torched him on that show so hard that...
We just kept telling Jesse, fuck you. And
I don't know.
I remember at the time not knowing why that was the case, and I was just going along with it.
Yeah, I don't know why we hated him so much. Guys. Yeah, well, they sort of got us back. You know, him and his ragtag crew of misfits.
Midnight Coterie.
They couldn't talk shit to save their life, except Jesse, who was well-versed in it. All right, well... With that fun out of the way, we're going to be talking about WrestleMania tonight. We're not going to be covering everything going on this week. If you want that, you can turn into the nerdiest part of the ring with Asa and Dalton. That is tomorrow on their podcast. Yes. I did invite Asa to the show tonight, and he wanted to come, but unfortunately he already had plans, so he was unable to make it. I did not reach out to Dalton. Dalton, I am sorry. That is not a shot at you. I just completely forgot, man. It was a busy day.
Well, I mean, he's gonna be doing this again over. So that's just more incentive to hear their you know takes and everything tomorrow on their show.
Exactly. So. And it would have been nice to have a full PW reunion here. Sure. But you got me. You got the original host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Hunter Hendricks. So let's dive on into it. So WrestleMania 38 is this week. I think there's also an NXT Stand and Deliver. But I don't know anything about that.
I don't either. Did you know, though, that they are billing this as the most, and this is a direct quote, the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history?
Okay. So, guys, my voice is going to crack here, because let me be honest with you. Neither Hunter nor myself have been into wrestling hardcore in a long time.
Lapsed fans. At least WWE fans in a big way.
Right. Of course, I still work with CCW. I still try to watch wrestling occasionally. But I am kind of excited about this year's WrestleMania. I think there's a lot of good stuff on there. I love NXT. I don't entirely hate NXT 2.0. I think there's some good stuff on there too. But we're not going to be covering that once again. You can tune in to Ace and Dalton on the Nerdiest Part of the Ring. Let's jump into WrestleMania. And you've got a list here, Hunter. We're going to give our thoughts and predictions.
Yeah. So the list that I've got lined up right now shows a grand total, if I remember correctly, of 15 matches over two nights. According to, I think I was pulling this from CBS Sports, according to that, at the very least, the nights for these matches are right. There will be eight of them on the first night on Saturday night, and then another seven on Sunday night. Now, whether or not they're in this order, I don't know. But I kind of tried to guess at what I thought would probably be a likely order for the card to some degree.
The only thing I disagree with is I think they're going to put Bianca and Becky in the main event. But so pretend these are in no specific order just in case.
Yeah.
But we'll start at the top of the list.
My main reasoning for not putting them there is because of what I did put there. But we'll get
surprise.
To that point.
Right, right.
Yep. Becky Lynch, the Raw Women's Champion, is defending against Bianca Belair. My guess is that they'll open most of these. They usually open one of these shows with a title match. And I feel like that might be one. But that is a pretty... hotly contested one too. The most recent development coming out of this, as I recall from Monday, is that Bianca got her hands on some scissors and went to town on Becky's hair. Of course, the whole Bianca hair braid thing, she basically turned it on her. And Becky now looks even more like Hayley Williams from Paramore.
Which isn't a bad thing, of course. And
no, but it's just true.
It also gave us a great clip where Becky Lynch, I saw it, where they asked her what she thought of Bianca after she got her haircut, and she just said, "Bianca, you bitch!" And I just, you know, whenever they bust out bitch for the women, it's serious.
That's it. Now it's serious.
It's on like Donkey Kong now.
This feels like an easy prediction. No part of me thinks that Bianca Belair does not win the title here. This has all been building from last SummerSlam. Becky right. came back after her hiatus from having her and Seth's, you know, child. Beat Becky in a really unceremonious way that I think in the end has in some ways paid off because they did turn her heel. I know there was a lot of questioning at that point, and WWE fans are often too quick to pull the, well, let's see what they're going to do with it. This is going to lead to a big thing.
It's a wait and see moment.
Right. And in this case, I think it did pay off in that way. But yeah, there's no part of me that thinks that that Bianca does not get her comeuppance here. This is her big moment to shine and win on the big stage.
I agree with you there. I'm kind of worried, though, that since she got her big moment last year at WrestleMania 2, that they're not going to repeat, that they'll have Becky go over just because they don't want to have Bianca win twice. But I think Bianca absolutely should win this match. I'm more of a Becky Lynch fan than I am a Bianca Belair fan. I think Bianca Belair is great, but I just love – it's the Irish in me. I got to support Irish. Irish recognize Irish. But the way that they did Bianca was super wrong when Becky came back. I mean, that was just shitty.
Yeah.
I know, like you said, a lot of people are saying, well, it was a story. It was a wait-and-see thing. I don't think that's true. I think they had no plans on doing this, and then maybe the backlash was so much. They got more of a negative reaction than they thought they were going to have for having Becky win. So they turned it into an angle, which is the only thing you can do. And now we are here. And I also think that Bianca is going to beat Becky. I don't think it's the end, though. I think at some point... I really do. I think Becky is going to cut off Bianca's braid. I think that is where it is going to get there eventually.
If not Becky, somebody. That is going to eventually be part of her whole story and transformation. And honestly, I would be surprised if that doesn't lead to a heel turn for her somewhere down the line. When that happens, that she it's a Kane unmasking kind of thing that... for whatever reason, that pushes her to that side. But we're in agreement on that one, so I don't think there's really much more to cover there.
No.
All right, so then you've also got the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic Mysterio in a tag team match against The Miz and Logan Paul in celebrity appearance number one of two nights of WrestleMania.
I'm just going to say this now. I do not mind Logan Paul being involved in this. I think he is a great natural heel. He has so much natural dislike for him that it's going to work well in this match. Rey Mysterio is one of the all-time greats. I think The Miz is an all-time great.
Absolutely. We have extolled the virtues of The Miz on this show for an awful long time. And I think this was... At first, I thought this was kind of a weird way to use him, not necessarily the Logan Paul thing, but The Miz thing. But overall, he is... It's still bizarre to me, as somebody who really likes The Miz, to feel like I'm talking about him like he's this great veteran, but he is.
He is.
At this point, he is the crafty veteran who's been there for so long. Obviously, Mysterio's been at it longer than him, but Miz is... There's not much of a stronger example of a company guy at this point than The Miz for WWE. And he works so well in that role. So to that point, that I think he and Logan Paul are going to win. I think it's hard to bet against any celebrity. And I kind of feel like that's going to be what happens here, that the two of them are going to win. They're already teasing the problems with the Mysterios again, which they did once and they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
I feel like this might be Dominic's moment to kind of, you know, you screwed it up for me, old man. And maybe they start pushing toward the two of them at SummerSlam or something.
I think that needs to happen because the Rey and Dominic...
Eventually,
I've never been a big fan of Dominic Mysterio. I don't dislike him. I just... He's fine.
He's okay.
He's fine.
He's just there.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also think that Logan Paul and The Miz, Miz never wins the big matches at WrestleMania. No. Other than the time he won the big match at WrestleMania.
And even then, The Rock had to do it for him.
Right, right. So... I think the only way that Miz and Logan Paul win is if Rey and Dominic cheat, or if they turn, one of them turns on the other, it makes absolute sense that it would be Dominic turning on Rey, but I would kind of like to see the opposite. I would like to see Rey turn on Dominic and kind of do the tough love, like, you're my son, I expect better of you type thing.
Right.
Because I think Rey could be scary if in the right way. Yeah.
He actually teased a version of that back, as I recall, right before the Royal Rumble. Even before her end, he either tossed Dominic out or he tossed him out during an episode of Raw and basically was like, hey, when we get in there for that, it's every man for himself and I've taught you everything I can teach you, but you got to fly on your own at some point. So Yeah, it could be that way too. But I agree with you. I think Mysterio has, he's one of those guys who consistently gets categorized as the forever face. But I don't think it has to be that way. I think we just kind of let it be that way.
Yeah, he can be a heel and still get the respect of the audience. But just because you get the respect doesn't mean you get the, you know, adoration. It is separate. Right. But I am, in this case, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to go with Rey and Dominic because I feel I feel like this is going to be the start of their breakup. But I just don't feel like they're going to let Miz and Logan Paul win. That's the only my only basis on this. So I'm going to disagree.
You you have edit access for that document, by the way, so you can pop that in there if you want to.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to keep this up and running when WrestleMania is on. I gave the link to. Okay, Chris, it calls you Anonymous Bat, but
well, it knows me well, clearly.
Yeah. While you're doing that, we can go ahead and just knock this one out of the way because who gives a shit?
Real
Drew
quick.
McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
It's McIntyre.
It's Drew McIntyre, and it's by a long fucking mile.
There is no part of me that thinks Happy Corbin has any. Although to be fair, they've really defended Happy Corbin and protected him for a long, long time. His finisher, the End of Days. I don't think anyone's ever kicked out of it. Like it's super protected.
I'm sorry, you must not be aware that now that he's Happy Corbin, it's called Happy Days.
That is fantastic. As I never liked Baron Corbin. I remember making fun of him a long time ago. But
he was generic. He was corny.
He's generic. They tried to portray him as the tough guy. He was the biker kind of guy. But he does whatever they ask of him. He does it well. He devotes himself to the role. I love the Happy Corbin thing. I want Happy Corbin to win just because he cracks me up. But you look at a golden god McIntyre. There's no way Drew McIntyre is losing.
And this is coming from the last time that we talked wrestling, I think was last WrestleMania or maybe SummerSlam. This is coming from somebody who, if you've ever listened to me on this show in the past couple of years, especially when we were doing the actual full core PWU, I don't get Drew McIntyre.
Right.
I don't. I mean, I get it. I understand why people like him, but he is not my cup of tea, and I do not fully embrace the whole thing. But it looks like they're setting him up for a post-WrestleMania run. So, yeah, you're going to have, you know, this is a good start to that. And two, here's another turn that's in the mix. Apparently, old Madcap Moss is apparently teasing a split with Corbin as of this past week.
But he's so happy.
So that would be another way. Well, he's a madcap.
He's a madcap.
You madcap.
I think
that gimmick's not going to last forever.
Drew McIntyre is, I know you're not a huge fan of him, but like he's got the look, he's got the charisma. He is giant and built and Scottish. I don't like what they do with the sword. It's funny, sort of. I don't know. I expect big things from him again, though. They're resting on him. I think this is the start of something bigger for him, hopefully.
I think he could benefit now. So when he first came back, he was kind of super generic heel. They put him with Ziggler. He was muscle. It was whatever.
Right.
He turned him face, and that did well for him until, of course, the pandemic era hit. And they spent all that time in the performance center and everything, and he really didn't ever get that full moment. I think a wildly charismatic heel Drew McIntyre would be really interesting right now. I think not necessarily, I don't want to call it the Reigns treatment, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, give this guy who has the ability to carry any character something different to do.
Yes.
And that might work.
Strap the rocket on him again, alter the course a little bit, and I think he could be one of the biggest people in there. Absolutely, I agree.
All right.
Poor Happy Corbin.
SmackDown Women's Championship is probably also happening. Apparently, both the Women's Championship matches are happening that night. The tag title will be on Sunday, but Charlotte Flair defends against Ronda Rousey in yet another match I personally could not begin to care less about. I've been burned out on Charlotte Flair so long that it came back around again, but I also didn't care then. And now I'm back to not caring all over again. I have never been a fan of Ronda Rousey, not UFC, not here, not in WWE. And I know she has her defenders. Tanner, I know in particular, was like, hey, she's trying hard, she's working hard. And I'm not here to say she is or isn't. I don't know. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I just could not care less about this. That said, it's Ronda Rousey, right? I mean, Charlotte is notorious for winning everything at WrestleMania, but Ronda didn't come back to get beat at the biggest show of the year.
Agreed. If this was any other pay-per-view, I would say Charlotte had a chance. But because this is Rousey's comeback, because this is Rousey's comeback, and it's at WrestleMania, absolutely. Plus, I think we may be winding down on Charlotte Flair in WWE. Yep. Obviously, her boyfriend, yep, Andrade, is in AEW. There's and Rick was going to AEW before that pesky Dark Side of the Ring came up and reminded everyone of what a dirtbag he is.
Ric Flair just looked over and said, "Well, well, well, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions." it really is. It really is a shame. Not that that stuff came out. Don't get me wrong. Just a shame that he did
it. It's a shame that they are like that. Yeah.
If he wasn't like that, you would not have. You know, they had the Hardy family office, and it's become the Andrade family office.
Yeah.
That would have been the Flair family office, yes, right? He would have been actively telling his daughter, "Look, just let that shit expire. They're not going to do anything else with you. They're not going to bring me back. Come on over. I'll run the show. It's you. It's him." That would have been incredible, yeah, but Flair fucked it up for everybody. Rick Flair fucked it up for everybody.
Well, Charlotte fucks it up for everybody, too, in the sense that she...
That's true.
I don't understand their obsession with Charlotte Flair. Like, I get she's good. She's a star. They portray her as a star. She carries herself as a star. And she's a great wrestler. She's got charisma. I don't know, man. Something about her leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I think it's that Cena complex. If I had been old enough when Hogan was, you know, around in his prime, I probably would have got sick of him too. But there's just that when you win all the time and you're presented so strong, it gets boring. It gets old.
What else can she do, man? There's nothing left to do. She beat Asuka at WrestleMania. She's won both the titles numerous times. I only recently was reminded, if you go far enough back, Charlotte Flair won the Divas title.
She was Divas
champion. Yeah. Yeah. When they first got called up, she won that one. So it's time to do either do something with her different with her or let it lapse.
But what could
let her move on and do something else somewhere else?
What could you do different with her? She's so ingrained in our minds that she is Charlotte Flair, the queen.
I'll tell you what I thought was kind of cool. I don't have time to get through the whole thing, but basically the gist of it was the guys at What Culture put together a thing a while back ago about how do you book Cody Rhodes' return? And I'm getting ahead of myself, you know, the whole thing of Cody Rhodes is definitely coming back to WWE. What do you do with him? They did like a full year's worth of booking, and part of it included Charlotte helping Cody out, not putting them together as like a romantic angle by any stretch, even if Brandy doesn't come over with him, you know. That would still be weird. But basically the two of them trying to reclaim their family's legacies in WWE, and there was a whole thing with that. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I know that they're probably really hesitant to even mention Rick at this point, but I think that, you know, when Charlotte first came up, they really leaned pretty hard on the whole Charlotte Flair thing. Then for the longest time, she was just Charlotte, and they kind of dropped that. Then they put him back with her, put Rick back with her. Then he was gone again. So they've shown that they don't mind going back and forth between whether or not they're going to lean into her Flair legacy or not.
Right.
I think if you're going to do it big. You know, if Cody was going to do something about, I'm here to basically reclaim my dad's legacy.
Right.
Why not have Charlotte do the same? Why not have them, you know, that could lead to, I know WWE is kind of hesitant on stables nowadays, but that would be a nice little pairing. I don't know.
Well, it's
just an idea.
It's like when they tried the legacy stable and they had Cody and Randy and Ted DiBiase Jr. You could do something similar, just better this time.
Sure.
Leave Randy Orton out of it because RK-Bro is, despite Matt Riddle being kind of a trash bag, it's one of my favorite things going. But I'm sure there are other, you know, generational wrestlers you could put in that stable that would make sense. But we'll get to Cody here in a second. Let's move on to the next match. It is a tag team match.
Yes, it is. The New Day taking on Sheamus and Ridge Holland, which is a little surprising to me. So this was supposed to be, at one point in time, a six-man tag, right? The New Day, all three members of the New Day against Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and, you know, that hot up-and-comer Butch.
Wait, are you guys talking
Butch?
Are you talking about Butch? Never seen him before.
Pete Dunne, now known as Butch.
That's who it is. Okay. I thought he looked familiar. Yeah.
Of course, the unfortunate incident not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, Ridge Holland suplexing Big E on the outside. He breaks his neck, so Big E won't be there. Xavier just returned, so when I say the New Day, this is just a tag team match, and it is Kofi and Xavier against apparently Sheamus and Ridge. I really assumed that they were going to put Butch into this instead, and that it would at least be him and Ridge or him and Sheamus. I kind of thought they'd sit Ridge on the sidelines for this, but it is what it is. In any case,
Butch.
I think I think the New Day is going to win purely because of the... This is wishful thinking on my part. I know that they don't need it. The other team is more up and coming. I mean, Sheamus obviously as established as the New Day, if not more. But Ridge and Butch. need the rub on this. I would like to think that even if that was the plan at one point, that they go, look, you know, that incident with Big E is about as unfortunate as it gets. Throw them a bone here, man. Give the New Day a win and at least let them kind of celebrate. You know they're going to have Big E tribute gear on.
Oh, yeah. If not Big E himself.
But at the same time, right. At the same time, I can see where the opposing, and I don't know if the other team even has a name at this point, but I can see where they might win just as a fuck you to, you know, Oh, in that funny, he injured him, and then they won at WrestleMania, too.
And that's exactly why my vote is going to Sheamus and Ridge Holland, because they're always big on Sheamus. The New Day can take a loss, and they don't mind them losing all the time. And in Vince McMahon's head, I can see him thinking, we got this, you know, momentum going with Ridge Holland, where he injured Big E. Let's turn it into a story. Vince McMahon is notorious for turning real-life tragedies into storylines. Whether it be Ukraine or a couple years ago, people don't even remember that, probably with Miro. What was his name at the time?
Rusev. Rusev Day.
Yeah. So
in the tank.
I don't put it past Vince McMahon, and I think that, and I don't even think it's going to be super close. I feel like Sheamus and Ridge are going to run over the New Day. I don't know why I have this feeling, but that's got my vote.
Logistically, you are probably right. I am voting with my wish, with my heart. Wishful thinking tells me
everybody gets
I would
one.
Like to see the New Day win, and that they get, you know, a little moment to just celebrate Big E in this unfortunate situation. But realistically, again, you're probably right. That's the one that I'm willing to waffle on and go, you know, I think this is going to happen. I would like for this to happen instead.
Right.
In any case, another tag team match on the card for that first night for the SmackDown tag titles. The Usos will defend against Shinsuke Nakamura. And is it Rick Boogs? I have never listened to how they say this guy's
name. Rick Boogs.
Boogs. I don't like it. Looks like boogers.
It
bothers me every time I see it. It's not... It makes me uncomfortable, man.
I love Rick Boogs. I love him.
Oh, he's
and
great
Shinsuke
from what
together.
I've seen of him.
I hate that they cut his hair, because I like the longer hair better than the short. But they're such an interesting and fun tag team. And Nakamura, at least you can say he looks like he's having fun, because they're not doing anything with him of importance.
Right.
They made him King Nakamura. They gave him an IC run, if I remember correctly, or U.S. title,
he
one of the other.
Punched in the nuts by AJ a whole bunch of times.
They punched each other in the nuts. It was funny. I thought that was funny. But his tag team with Rick Boogs, where Boogs is playing the guitar, I mean, it's gold. But with that
they
said,
are not gonna win.
There's no way in hell they're beating the Usos. No.
Nope.
Is there?
For me, to be fair, part of the reasoning for this is the same reasoning I've given I'll get to giving for the main event for night two. That's part of the reason I think they're not going to win here. I know where you were going with this. Is there a more at this point dominating tag team in WWE than the Usos?
Which
is more established, long running team? Like,
and it kind of makes me sad too, because they're incredibly talented guys. They're obviously related to Roman and the Samoan family. But how many wrestlers have been let go? I was just watching the Wrestling with Regret review of ECW One Night Stand, and it was the one where RVD won the title, and then 2 weeks later he got pulled over with Sabu and got popped for weed, and they basically took his everything away. They took everything away from the titles. Meanwhile, you've got the Usos, who have been arrested how many times for drunk driving, and have had,
I think it's the same one every time, and for the life of me I don't remember which one. But it's that same one, keeps getting popped for this stuff over and over and over.
Horrible
and
black eye.
It's Will Smith all over again.
Yeah.
Does this thing, wins the title 10 seconds
Standing
later.
Standing ovation. What an incredible wrestler. It's incredible until they kill somebody by accident. With RVD and the weed, he wasn't going to kill anybody driving. It was just an unfortunate incident. I absolutely hate that the Usos...
He killed that bag of Doritos that was in the
who would?
Passenger seat.
Doritos are delicious. I hate that the Usos are held on such a pedestal when they've at least one of them has done so many things wrong, and WWE's line of thinking when it comes to them is literally, he is in charge of his own actions. We have no control over that. It's like, but you, You do, because you fired other people for the stuff like this.
Absolutely.
Nepotism. Anyway, but yeah, the Usos are definitely going to win. There's no way. There's no way. The only people that can beat the Usos at this point is if the Usos get a hold of a time machine, they go back in time and wrestle themselves. That's the only way the Usos lose.
Yeah, because they can, well, it depends on how far they go back. If they go back to when they were doing the Hawk that nobody cared about them, then they will still beat those guys.
That's, yeah, but either way, the Usos win.
Nakamura and Boogs will definitely win those tag titles at some point. This ain't it. Maybe even next month. I can see them doing like the WrestleMania Backlash. The rematch, you know, they get them there. Yeah, but it won't be here. This won't be it.
Nope. WrestleMania Oos.
And then you got what is effectively a co-main event for night one, because one of these things is not actually a match, but you know it's going to be a match. Kevin Owens hosting the KO show with special guest Stone Cold Steve Austin. There's literally no chance Austin doesn't wrestle. And all the rumors are that he doesn't want to just do, you know, kick Wham Stunner, drink a couple beers and call it a day, that he wants to, you know, get a little more involved, that he's been working out a lot and been bringing his conditioning back up. Because, I mean, yeah, Austin broke his neck, but how many other guys, Edge, Daniel Bryan, have been through that, Bryan Danielson, have been through that and have come back? Austin's been at it for even longer now, which I know, you know, in some ways maybe suggests, oh, he can't do it now, but with all the advances in medical science and stuff, I don't think he's coming back full-time. I don't think he's going to start running a Bryan Danielson, you know, this run, be the or even match. Edge one.
Yeah.
Sure, but I could see him actually wrestling a match in the midst of this. And if that is the case, it's Austin.
Yeah. Right?
There's no way.
There's no way. Wins. No way. No matter what this is, whether it's a match or it's an event or it's a moment, whatever, it's Austin's going to come out on top. Which
it's Texas. It's WrestleMania in Texas. It's the first time in 20 years that Stone Cold, almost 20 years, that Stone Cold has been at WrestleMania, like, or has been there and done a thing.
I'm not big on the Stone Cold. I'm not big on nostalgia trains in general, usually. Yeah. And like, this doesn't mean a lot to me because I was never a big Stone Cold fan. I liked Stone Cold just fine. I know his place in history. And I know how good he is. But I was never his biggest fan. I was a Shawn Michaels guy and a Hogan guy and stuff like that.
The Rock.
Rock.
Like, growing up in New Madrid and being a fan of The Rock and not of Stone Cold, I had to watch my back, man. I was in constant risk of somebody giving me a stunner in the hallway in high school. So
flipping you the birds and
also they did that anyway.
Also, I'll never forgive Stone Cold for inventing and bringing back the what chant, because they're doing it again. If you're a wrestling fan and you do the what chant, fuck off. Like, it is the worst possible chant you can do. It's so
even
insulting.
Brock Lesnar had to find a way around it on Monday, and apparently he started talking about WrestleMania, they started doing it, he was like, yeah, he'll be there too, and he just kept on. Like, because what else can you do? Put it off. And even Austin has been like, I'm so sorry, this is a terrible idea.
It was
like,
it was so
great
bad.
But it was also terrible.
It made him a ton of money with those what t-shirts, but it is is my least favorite chant in wrestling history.
It was funny when he did it.
Right.
It was funny when he did it in the promos, because it was built off that voicemail that he left Christian. But it's not funny when the crowd does it.
No.
All the time.
Yeah, it's not cute. It's not funny. Let the masters do it. But yeah, it's Stone Cold. And then we got this main event, possibly, which is the most talk about thing for WrestleMania this year.
And it's night one. Yeah, they've confirmed that Seth Rollins will indeed, after throwing a fit, standing on Vince McMahon's desk and everything else on Monday night. Because here's the deal. Seth Rollins has been trying to get on the WrestleMania card. Shannon, you don't understand how hard it is to get on the WrestleMania card.
Incredibly hard.
Natty Neidhart, Natalya, and Shayna Baszler had to go interrupt a match just to get on the card.
Right.
Literally all they did was go down, hit a couple people, come back, and they were told, okay, you're in a match now. Seth Rollins, he can't be bothered to do that. He's too busy buying more drip. So finally, I can't keep up the sarcasm. It's going to kill me inside. Seth Rollins is on the card. He's been told specifically by Vince McMahon that he will have a match at WrestleMania. Against who? Well, Vince said, you'll find out when you're in the ring. We found out a month ago when it was announced that Cody Rhodes was leaving AEW and that he was not coming back, and that it looked like he was going to WWE. There's literally, to me, one other possibility of who this is, and I would hope they would not try to pull this bait and switch, because you're going to piss off so many people. Evidently, Shane McMahon is now rumored to be involved in WrestleMania somehow.
If it... Okay, I didn't know this. God damn it.
Yeah,
if
it's, this is new. Oh, my God. This is new information.
If it's Shane McMahon, that the roof is going to blow off that place. And I don't mean that in a good way. This is...
Here's legitimately what I hope happens. Here's what I hope happens. Rollins goes out to the ring. He goes through his intro. He's standing there. The commentators are questioning, who's it going to be? You know, who's the first man? Whatever. Who's coming out? Shane's music hits. Here comes the money, right? And everyone loses it. Booing like crazy. Shane actually comes out, starts doing the little jumpy, the rabbit punches, the shimmy sham, whole Simba thing. And Cody Rhodes just comes up and obliterates him from behind. Sends him off the stage, throws him off, and then just goes in and proceeds to destroy Rollins. Regardless of who it is, Seth Rollins does not win this match.
No.
Like, even if they go full bore on it, Shane McMahon, there's no way Rollins wins. He wanted it too badly, and he's this huge scummy heel. Of course somebody else
is gonna beat him. And he's doing, I think, the best work he's done in a long, long time. His character right now is so much fun. I laugh. He's just so over the top. It's
he's goofy.
It's fun
in
goofy.
The best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, Shane McMahon. I Vince, if you're listening, and I know you are, I will pay you $50 to make it Shane McMahon. I would love nothing more than to watch everyone's fucking face deflate when here comes the money. Oh my God. And Shane, in Shane's mind and maybe in Vince's mind, Shane is on the same level, if not bigger,
the best heel
than Cody
ever.
Rhodes. Yeah.
They bring back what's his face to do the whole best in the world.
Oh my God. That would be the best thing. Let's say it is Cody Rhodes, which more than likely it will be.
Yes.
I could also see them having him lose. I don't know why. Vince McMahon is a very, he's a very petty person. But I don't think Cody Rhodes would have signed an agreement had he known he would be treated that way, right. At least at first.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be back. I think it won't be him at first. I think Brandy will come out first. And when people see Brandy, they'll lose their minds because they know Cody. And I hope Brandy does come back. I know she got a lot of flack, and I know she isn't the most beloved. But I always thought Brandy was a great talent. She's gorgeous. She's intelligent. She's different. So I'm all for it. Let's bring them both back. And whoever it is going to win. Let's hope it's Cody.
And in a related note before we move on to night two, I really think WWE is currently, you're talking about how much Seth Rollins is just fun to watch. He's so goofy and stupid and over the top. I think they're missing a big opportunity to actually put him and Becky back together on screen now.
Yeah, this would
They've
be the best
They've only
time.
Done it once.
This would be the
best
time.
They have acknowledged since the moment they got together, they have acknowledged that they're a couple. And for one brief moment, they worked together as a tag team against, it was actually Corbin and
Lacey Evans. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was fun enough. I mean, it was good, but they were faces, and neither one of them does their best work as faces. Put them back together as heels
right now. Insufferable Becky is heels.
Yeah, she's basically doing a lot of the Seth Rollins stuff just in the women's division.
Right.
Put them together in that way. That's what I want to see. Coming out of WrestleMania, regardless of what happens with both of them, put them together in that way. Let's have some fun with it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, there's a whole other night worth of WrestleMania to go. We got like 20 minutes, so let's get to it. Night two, I suspect, opens with the Raw Tag Team titles. It's a triple threat match. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, RK-Bro, will be defending against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy.
Bro.
It's definitely those guys, right? They just got their titles back. They work really well as a team. And while the other two are getting more and more established and better at what they do, I think Orton and Riddle get their, probably what I suspect is their big, I don't want to call it send-off, but like their big moment as a team at WrestleMania. From this point, it's going to be downhill for them. I suspect by SummerSlam, the two of them will be fighting each other. And the titles will get pushed off to one of these other two teams, who again are both doing great work. Chad Gable has really, really gotten over as the leader of this little thing with Otis. Otis, by the way, what a weird career transition he's made continuously here.
Yes.
A guy who was so massively over in a totally different gimmick, now fully pushed as a heel, almost completely stripped of all that stuff, and yet it's still kind of working, almost entirely on the back of Chad Gable. So, you know, they had the titles for a hot second there. The Street Profits haven't had them in a while, which is why I don't think either of them need them back right now. But Riddle and Orton, I think, will get their big WrestleMania moment here. Orton is kind of notorious for that, especially since he moved out of the main event. I feel like Orton often does really well in the undercard of WrestleMania. And this is going to be their time to kind of, they just got the titles back, show them off. Yeah, it's RK-Bro. for me out of those three.
I am under the impression that it's going to be, I think it's absolutely not going to be RK-Bro. It's going to be one of the other two teams. I think.
Really?
Well, so Street Profits have been showing a real mean streak lately. They've been way more aggressive. And then the Alpha Academy is probably the third tier team in this. But I think because they've been pushing him so much and you have that Otis factor, that it's going to be very, very close. So I really could see it going either way. But I think it's not going to be RK-Bro. I think this is where Orton or Riddle turns on the other. And I think it's going to be Riddle because the obvious answer is Orton. Orton always turns. So I think Riddle is going to turn on Orton, cost them the match, or at the least, Orton does something that screws up, or Riddle does something that screws up. Orton gets on him after the match and like, how'd you do it? Riddle turns on him. Either way, I think they lose the titles here. I'm gonna go with Street Profits on this one.
Okay.
I think it could be Alpha Academy.
I can see the possibilities of it. I don't think they'll pull the trigger on that here. I think that's gonna happen in the next couple of months. But certainly this is one of the few matches I can say for sure I would not be upset about any of these teams winning. I think they're all doing some of the best work of their careers, and I think anybody who comes out on top here is going to then lead to something interesting.
I 100% agree, and I will not be listening for a second. I got to go grab something upstairs in my house. So if you want to talk about the next match, I'll be right back.
I will get that started. So back in January, we were told that Johnny Knoxville was coming to WWE to do some promotion for the upcoming Jackass Forever movie, which came out in February. Celebrity, again, involvement in WrestleMania and in WWE in general is always a little bit of a risky move. You never really quite know which way the wind is going to blow on those sorts of things. But Knoxville has been one of the best non-WWE performers to work in WWE in a long time. He's really well liked backstage. The audience really seems to enjoy him, and it's bizarre to me in some ways, especially for, something that was kind of past its prime. I don't think anybody was really anticipating Jackass making this huge, big comeback, and yet it kind of did in a lot of ways. So Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn have been antagonistic to each other ever since Knoxville came in to promote the show.
Yes.
He was at the Royal Rumble. They did the whole thing there. It was a lot of fun. And the movie has come and gone. At this point, you can't even see Jackass Forever in most theaters. We had to watch it on demand. But it was so popular and so well done, and Sami Zayn is just so good at being that annoying guy. He and Seth Rollins kind of have that same, thing, but in different ways, of just getting the audience in the palm of their hands, that they brought him back. And so in what has now been officially declared an anything goes match, Johnny Knoxville will face Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, our second celebrity appearance of the weekend. I think the stipulation is what gives this one away. Johnny Knoxville is going to win this match at WrestleMania.
Yes.
I think that confirms it.
He'll do crazy shit. He'll get hurt. That's literally what he's best at. Right.
He has friends. I mean, if nothing else, he's got that going for him. Sami Zayn doesn't have anybody backing him up by design. He's that kind of character.
They've already had
Knoxville show up with Wee Man and with some of the other guys, and just, I think that that's going to be the big deciding factor here.
There is one person who's also been the victim of a conspiracy against him to take him out of Jackass, and that's Bam Margera. So Sami Zayn.
oh, that would be a fun little
that
twist
would be
if they
fun.
Got Bam Margera to come in.
No way in hell that would ever happen. So
not,
no.
WWE wouldn't even pay for his insurance. I'm pretty sure they'd be like, no, we're
You
couldn't even get him on a Jackass set long enough to keep him there. No,
right.
we're good. Thanks anyway, Hardigram
boy. It's that Liberace, it's just that I'm good. Yeah. So
yep.
I think this is going to be a train wreck in the best way. And
I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And it's one of the few times that I'm totally okay with the celebrity coming out on top. Sami Zayn can do no wrong at this point, and he can suffer every loss without losing any momentum. So,
yeah. Agreed.
That's good stuff.
Agreed. I can't find my wallet. I'm supposed to order dinner because
I
was going to order pizza, and I can't find my wallet. So. That's not
just
good.
Say the numbers out loud here. Somebody will pick up on.
I don't remember them. I'm tempted to text someone and be like, hey, what's the number to my wallet?
What's my credit card?
What's the number to my wallet? Oh my God.
One of the ones I didn't put in here originally, but then I was reminded is taking place Bobby Lashley returned on Monday Night Raw this past week. Amos has been running through people left and right. Did you know that Amos beat the Viking Raiders by himself?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. So Bobby Lashley and Amos are going head to head. There's a strong, first of all, I don't care, really, but there's a strong indication to me. I love Bobby Lashley, man. I really do. He does some great work with MVP, and I think the Hurt Business was a lot of fun. I think that whole thing has been bungled ever since they got it. They got it right for like 2 weeks, and then it just fell apart.
Yeah.
I desperately want Bobby Lashley to win this match.
Yes.
And that's why I picked him. There is a strong part of me, though, that is saying there's no way it happens. They have, for whatever reason, decided that Amos is the next big thing. He is the future. Even though he does not seem to be that good at these things. He was fine in a tag team with AJ. You could kind of conceal his weaknesses in that way. Amos feels like the second coming of the Great Khali, not of Brock Lesnar. That's what I get from this. And the idea that he's going to be going over Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania kind of turns my stomach a little bit. So I cannot, in good conscience, pick Amos. That said, I will not be surprised when he wins.
Hunter, let me let you in a little secret of I figured out why they push Amos so much and why Vince McMahon loves him so much. And it turns out it's because he's really tall.
I have heard that. Yeah.
That's it, man. you're gonna put Amos over Bobby Lashley, who is the best Battletoad. And one of the
best recent WWE champions did a great job of carrying that title, of carrying Monday Night Raw in a lot of ways for a while with MVP at his side. And what a comeback story, too, from that horrible cuck angle with Lana and Rusev.
Oh.
To this, to showing up suited out as part of the leader of the stable, a Hurt Business. He's a WWE champion. He's putting people down left and right, giving McIntyre. If I ever really enjoyed Drew McIntyre's work, it was at that time. He was a great foil for Bobby Lashley. They're bringing him back as a face, which I'm okay with because at least it's not going to be, the old ECW smiling Bobby Lashley. It's going to be, he actually is to come in and be a badass.
Right.
But when he loses to Amos at WrestleMania, I'm going to be quite disappointed.
I am too.
I'm not picking Amos. I cannot in good conscience do it.
No.
But I fully believe that's what's going to happen.
I do too. And the question that I have whenever I come up with that answer is who's going to come out and interfere? Someone's going to come interfere and they're going to cost Bobby Lashley the match, and that's going to be the feud going forward is Bobby Lashley versus this person. I feel like it could be MVP. He's going to turn on Lashley and have someone come in and do that. It could be Cedric Alexander or Shelton Benjamin. Something's going to happen. Omos will win, and this is going to be the feud going forward, and it's upsetting and it's disgusting, but that's what it is. So
wouldn't it be bizarre? Dig this. Check this out. Bobby Lashley comes out with MVP. He and Amos are having the match. Alexander and Shelton Benjamin show up because they're tired of being secondhand to this, right? They're going to implode the Hurt Business all over again. They attack Lashley. They go in after him. Amos is pissed because they just ruined his WrestleMania match. He was going to win, and they screwed it up. So Amos goes after him. Now Lashley's going after him, too. And on Monday night, MVP comes out and goes, it was all well and good having a tag team here to back up Bobby Lashley, but they never win. They never do anything. Why would I get a tag team when I can get one guy who can beat a tag team by himself and just recruit Amos to their side? I don't think they're going to do it, but I think it would be more entertaining than what's going to happen.
I actually don't think that that's the worst idea. Like having Amos in the Hurt Business, he'd look good in a suit.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And it would be great. All his stuff is tailor-made. He's there just to be that. I don't think there's any shame in being the muscle for a group and being the backup for a group. Effectively a manager who doesn't really do the talking.
You're the scary one.
MVP's got that taken care of. Yeah. I think we've shown at this point Amos is not going to go out there and put on any five-star classics. Do what you can with him. Do the same thing you did with Great Khali. Do what works with him. That would be it.
It's a sad truth, but I mean, we have to face the facts that when you are so big and so tall, you can't move fast enough.
Limitations.
There's limitations. Some of the best, you know, tall wrestlers of all time, you know, your Kevin Nash's, your Hogan's, your guys like that. None of them were ever five-star classics by any means. They were good, but none of them were as big as Omos. I mean, that is his selling point.
Kevin Nash came back from a torn quad, got in the ring, and tore his quad again.
Yeah, yeah.
What can you do, man?
He,
you know?
He tore his quad.
These things are going to happen.
Tripping over a cordless phone. It was terrible. Let's move on.
We have four matches. Yeah, we have four matches to go. So this one has the most competitors of all because apparently, I don't know if you knew this, the Andre the Giant, or the whatever, the Battle Royals, because they're doing two of them now, I think, are all happening on SmackDown this week. They're not even doing those at WrestleMania.
Good.
They don't have
they're
time.
Always
they have
terrible.
No, they have no room.
What yes, Cody Rhodes come back and wins that instead?
That's what Cody Sandusky said he thought was going to happen.
No.
But we've got the Women's Tag Team Championships, one more set of titles before the main ones to be defended. Zelina Vega, Queen Zelina, along with Carmella, who are the current champions, will defend against this motley set of crews. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, Sasha Banks and Naomi, and Natalya and Shayna Baszler. So they just paired them off in the way they thought made the most sense. I don't think any of these teams really needs to be women's tag team champions. I think these are probably the least under or the least utilized, like the most underutilized titles in the company. So at this point, I'm just picking what I think sounds like a good idea, and that's Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. That's who I think should win.
I'm going to agree with you, but I only agree with you because I absolutely adore Liv Morgan. I think she could
be. They're both great.
They're both great, but I think Liv Morgan could be the all-star in wrestling if they just let her be. She's got the crowd behind her. She's got a great look. She's got a great attitude. She even overcame that stupid angle where she was a lesbian lover of, oh, who was it? Oh, Lana during the
part of that thing.
Oh, my God. She's so good, and she's getting better all the time. She's just I love Liv Morgan. She's my favorite woman in wrestling right now by far. And Rhea Ripley's close because Rhea Ripley is scary. She's strong. Yeah. She's everything that you would want in a female competitor. I mean, she's incredible. The other teams just don't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, they do and
they
don't.
Fine. They just exist.
The only one I could see possibly winning is Sasha Banks and Naomi just because of the star power there. But I also I also feel like they might just leave the titles on Zelina and Carmella just because in WWE's mind, they look at this match and they go, who gives a shit? We don't.
I think the most definitive answer we can give here is that it won't be Natalya and Shayna.
It will not
they will
be
not win.
Natalya and Shayna.
That is the most cobbled together team possible. Again, they're on the card because they went and randomly attacked some of these other competitors in a match, and then Sonya Deville went, well, guess what? You're on the card now.
I guess you're in. All right, let's move on.
Edge and AJ Styles in what is basically, I guess, a grudge match at this point. The whole thing was Edge basically saying he needed that WrestleMania fire back. He needed somebody who would give him that match, and it turns out that it's AJ Styles, and I don't disagree with that. I think this will probably be technically one of the best matches of the two nights. I also thought that when Edge came back and fought Randy Orton, and I was wrong.
It's
so I'm
a little bit, different. That was one of those.
That's
hey,
true.
We're in the COVID era, so we can film things ahead
of
time.
It was cinematic.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was like 40 minutes long.
Right.
It was a whole thing.
It was way too long. It was like Resident Evil: Welcome to Raccoon City. Way too long. I think AJ.
This will be a great match, just in general. I don't think that's a controversial statement.
It's not the greatest match of all time, although that was another Edge match that they had. But I feel like AJ Styles always gets the best WrestleMania opponents. I don't know what it is. Vince McMahon loves AJ Styles. I truly believe that, which is great considering where he came from and how everybody was, you know, they botched his first intro. They showed Roman Reigns.
It was a botched job.
Yeah. Oh, he botched that one. So I think, though, that Edge has lost too many times. He's got it. He needs a victory. And AJ doesn't really. This is Edge's farewell tour. So even though AJ's not much farther behind him in the farewell tour era, so plus
no, but AJ is in that Sami Zayn sort of way, not in the same way, but basically what I'm getting is he's kind of bulletproof. Like he can suffer a loss here and there. If you turned around after him losing to Edge at WrestleMania and told me that AJ Styles was going for the next title in line by the next pay per view, I would believe he would have it. He'd have a chance of winning it. AJ is always right there as, I guess, what they call a perennial contender. Like, he could come up at any time and be a threat to any championship.
I think AJ is... This match is probably going to steal the show. I think this is going to be the best match, other than maybe the main event coming up. But I'm going to go with Edge as well.
There's still one in between there, though. We got to get that third celebrity on the card. Now, I feel bad about saying that because I know that a lot of our crew loves Pat McAfee. Not to mention, he's not just a random celebrity. He does commentary for WWE. He has been involved in matches. He fought Adam Cole at NXT. But the whole thing surrounding this Pat McAfee, for the record, versus Austin Theory match makes next to no sense to me.
No.
The build-up effectively is... Excuse me, Vince McMahon goes on McAfee's show, podcast, I don't know what he does. He does a thing. And he invites Vince McMahon on, who comes on, who does a very, you know, behind-the-scenes interview. Oh, what's really going on in the mind of Vince McMahon?
And what an asshole.
Really? And somewhere along the way of that, a match is suggested between the two of them. McAfee versus Vince McMahon. Which Vince, as I recall, and I might be remembering this wrong, in the moment agrees to... Then later says, no, I'll find you a WrestleMania opponent, which he already did for Rollins. It seems like he could have saved himself a lot of trouble and just made them fight each other. And then says it'll be Austin Theory. Well, that's because Vince has spent time on the past, like, what, couple of months, I guess, since around the time of the Rumble, just occasionally at episodes of Raw with Austin Theory, just, like, telling him what to do and forcing him to fight people.
Slapping
like
him around.
His protege.
Like he's
yeah.
Will Smith.
Yeah, it just... So, yeah, that leads to McAfee and Austin Theory, and I don't care, man. I hate to say that so many times on these WrestleMania cards, but I don't give a shit.
I don't care. I don't either.
I think McAfee's going to win purely because Theory has been Vince McMahon's whipping boy, and it'll be funny to watch him get the backlash and the flack from losing to McAfee at WrestleMania. You have a different opinion.
I do. I do. I think that Theory's going to win because of the same thing you just said. Because he's been Vince McMahon's whipping boy. I think this is where he's starting to come out on his own. This is where he'll get the adulation of Vince. I don't see them putting Pat McAfee over at WrestleMania, over Austin Theory, who I feel like is one of their little experiments they've got going right now. And unless Vince has completely fallen out of love with Austin Theory, which is absolutely possible because he changes his mind, like the wind changes directions, I just see Austin Theory taking this, which, I don't care one way or the other about either of these guys. I don't hate Pat McAfee as much as I used to, and I never really cared about Austin Theory. I think they're both really good athletes. I think they're great at what they do, but I'm not attached to either of these people.
I think McAfee is going to win for the same reasons that you think Theory is going to win, because frankly, Austin Theory going to win over Pat McAfee is no impressive thing in any way. So I don't think Vince would treat it as some big, you know, okay, now you're on the ball. I think it will be, you know, for the angle, for the storyline, for the gimmick, as they say, it'll be funnier and it'll be more entertaining to watch him lose and then Vince come in and probably like whip him with his coat or something. I don't know.
Hey, damn it!
It's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be some thing for Vince to go out there. Now, okay, if you want to try to salvage this, and I know...
I'm sorry, I can't get over that image now.
Well, he'll probably blow both his quads getting into the ring doing that anyway.
He's just laying on the ground telling him, come closer to me so I can whip you.
If you want to salvage this, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but if you want to try to salvage this, I think the most broad base I can give to that is Theory loses to McAfee. Vince comes in and browbeats him, and Theory just loses his mind on Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Just beats the ever-living hell out of the old man. Maybe there's something there. Maybe that's why Shane's coming back, so maybe he can fight him and come up on his own way. I don't know. But at least that would lead to something. Because I guess my problem with this is it feels like there's next to no build-up, and it goes nowhere. What happens when either one of these people wins?
Yeah.
Not much.
Right. I 100% agree with you on that. It just seems like a very filler match, but because Vince McMahon's tied to it, it feels more important than it actually is. But, you know, good on him. Austin Theory's got a good future. And like I said, Pat McAfee's obviously a lover of this business. So, and he's good at what he does. Yeah. So sure. Why not?
Last but not least.
Come here,
least,
damn it. Let me whip you with my coat. Now.
You never get that idea out of your head now. I don't even know where that came from. The biggest match of the two nights, the big main event for night two of WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar, the WWE champion, defends against Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion. This is now winner take all. They have confirmed that whoever wins this match will be leaving with the WWE Unified title. So it sounds like they are, in fact, putting the belts together, even though it was rumored for a long time at first that was not the case, and that somebody winning this match would have to basically be champion, you know, defend both belts separately. First of all, before we even talk about who wins this match, if the belt design sucks, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of
I'm sick of WWE belts. Like, their NXT UK belt is gorgeous. The NXT title itself is okay. The main titles for WWE on Raw and SmackDown, I think, are the ugliest belts. They're so generic looking. They look like toys. I miss the days of the big gold belt from WCW or the old WWF title. Like, those were beautiful belts that had prestige. The belts nowadays, it's like they're trying to be hip, but it just ends up looking like desperate.
It's no good.
Yeah.
I can only assume, and I think we've talked about this before at some point, that the reason they look like toys is so that they can make toys.
It's a thing now
to make the replica belts. You may as well make it look like one.
And it costs a lot less when your design is basically just a W with a color.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are not sure what's going to happen here, and no part of me understands why they think Brock Lesnar is going to win.
Right.
I mean, it's Brock Lesnar. I get that. I guess I can acquiesce to that much. But we're now talking about Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, Paul Heyman at his side, the Usos still holding on to the tag titles. Again, I told you that was going to come back. Roman Reigns, who has not been defeated in how many days? It's like 500-something now, some ridiculous number that he's held the Universal Championship, which I think they just want to get rid of. I honestly think the unification thing is just to get rid of the Universal title, which to me is very funny. The Universal title has had, I think, fewer than 10 champions. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar together have held it longer than anybody else who had it in that whole time. It means nothing. Nobody cares about that belt, man. It's just a blue version of the regular one. So, yeah, I think it's in very little question to me that Roman Reigns wins, so Brock Lesnar can go back to his farm for a while. He'll come back in a year or so, maybe, you know, less than that. But this needs to be, whether it will be or not, this needs to be the coda of the Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, whatever. I don't even want to call it a feud anymore.
This is like the 10th match that they've had, and it's always it's always under the guise of big stakes. And yes, there are big stakes in this match.
Yeah.
A couple points to make. One, I had a vision of what the belt will look like. It's going to look exactly like it does now, but half of it will be red, half of it will be blue.
Oh,
that's what it's going to be.
Oh,
that's what it's going to be.
Why do you say these things?
I apologize. And two, the reason Roman Reigns will win this match, if for nothing else, is because they want so badly to make Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania 39.
Yes.
And you've got the most dominant champion in decades in Roman Reigns. There's no way they're going to take away the grandiose feeling of Roman Reigns versus Rock with the title on the line, and Roman Reigns has been champion for 3 years or whatever at this point. So that is what's going to happen. Roman Reigns is just going to steamroll over everyone leading up to The Rock. And what will happen to this match? How do you tell the story of Brock Lesnar losing when Brock Lesnar is dominant? I'll tell you how. It's the same way that everyone loses to Roman Reigns. The Usos will interfere. Paul Heyman will interfere. Yep. It's the same fucking story every time. And Roman Reigns wins. Hard fought match. Oh my God. Brock Lesnar had him. You know,
Lesnar is the only guy who they will allow to attack Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
He'll get an F5 on Paul Heyman, more than likely. He'll throw the Usos around into each other. He'll probably just throw them off the top of a building for safekeeping.
He will unify them. He will take both their heads and smash them together and make one Us.
One Us.
Jimmy J. Uso.
Well, now it sounds like he comes from Chaffee. Here's what I'm actually hopeful will not happen, because honestly this has the potential to at least be a good match.
Yeah.
And entertaining and fun to watch as semi trucks just plowing
it's a hoss fight.
I hope it's not we set your SmackDown meter to 5, that you get all 5 finishers and you just go nuts. I do not want to watch F5 Superman Punch. Is he still calling it the Superman Punch, by the way? Because that seems wrong.
I think
for heel Roman Reigns.
I think so.
Spears, guillotine chokes, like,
it's the greatest hits.
I'll tell you, I think the thing that would be most... Oh, and German suplexes. How am I skipping the German suplex? There will be 14 of those at least. Yeah. Promise you that.
Per Us.
Well, it's just the one now. That's how he combines them. He gets them both at the same time, throws them back, and when they come back, there's just the one.
They're squished together.
Don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I I guess, okay, on the one hand, it would be really impressive if they really want to go just balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Let Roman Reigns choke Brock Lesnar out. Let him use that guillotine choke and choke him out. That would be huge. I cannot remember the last time, if ever, that Brock Lesnar lost by submission.
I can't either. Yeah. Not clean, of course. It can't be clean. Right. No.
But the other thing that would be disappointing is, as much as I like that somebody's using that move does not look visually impressive at all. I don't think it would be, like, fun to watch him literally just sit there in the middle of the ring and choke him out. Even the triangle choke at least gives you a better look at this guy's, you know, entire body and this guy who's choking him out's face.
Yeah.
I think the guillotine choke being the thing to put it away would be technically impressive, but it doesn't make for much of a visual. So no. I suspect he will use it. I suspect Lesnar will get the two-arm drop bit. But it'll be 14 spears through the glass...
through the ooze.
I don't know.
He's gonna spear an ooze through an ooze. I think I could see it. Roma's got him in the guillotine. Lesnar powers him up into the F5, goes for the F5. Roman lands on his feet. Spear, Superman punch, victory. I'm calling it. I'm calling my shot. Either way, I think the Roman Reigns wins this match.
Roman Reigns.
he definitely
and as much
wins.
As much as I have loved the general head of the table, tribal chief stuff, the bloodline, I don't know, man. I'm tired of the same thing. If he carries that title to next year at WrestleMania and they literally don't have a champion other than Roman Reigns all that time.
Oh, yeah.
Who is watching for this?
Everybody.
Who is excited for this?
Well, no one's excited, but Ace and I talked about this. They're making
things.
They're making so much money in WWE now, more than they've ever made. They don't give a shit anymore. They don't care whether or not we enjoy it or don't. Here's what they want to give you, and if you like it, cool, and if not, oh well, you're still going to pay for the next, you know, for WWE Network, so they don't give a shit at this point. Also, yeah. I'm giggling because I got a message pop up that said Michaela.
Do you see Tanner?
No.
Never mind.
Michaela Minton, it said she liked the episode of Jaws of the Sarlacc, and for a second, I thought I accidentally put in Jews of the Sarlacc, and I was going,
no!
I was so embarrassed for a second, I started clicking on buttons like, no, it's Jaws, thank God.
Well, if you want to tack on to that, did you happen to see, because Tanner popped into the Discord briefly, he didn't come into the chat here, but in the text chat, he dropped a prediction for the night one main event we talked about. Go ahead and tell him what that is, if you will, please.
Oh, okay. Tanner Calvert says... Hulk Hogan shows up and is the surprise opponent for Seth Rollins. R-Truth comes out to assist Hogan, getting the win, thus showing Hogan actually likes black people. You know what? Hogan might be a racist, but at least he never sexually assaulted a stewardess. So there's one thing he's got over Ric Flair.
They'll bring him back before they'll bring back Rick at this point.
Good, too, because Rick...
Oh, my God.
One's just a fake asshole. The other one's a fake, belligerent, borderline rapist asshole. Okay, we got to get out of here. This has turned dark. That's it.
It's going to get bad.
That's the WrestleMania preview show for Podzilla 1985 for Pro Wrestling Scripted. I highly recommend, if you want more in-depth on this, tune into Nerdiest Part of the Ring with Ace and Dalton, because I know they're going to do a great job and go in depth. But I had a lot of fun with this, Hunter. It was good talking about wrestling with you once again.
Absolutely.
We'll never miss a WrestleMania preview, no matter what. It's fun to bring back PW every so often. But that is it for tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow with our all-new After Dark anniversary episode. It should be a lot of
7 years,
quote-unquote, fun. And we'll see how it goes. And then we'll be back next week for new stuff. So, for myself and for Hunter and for all the PWU cast of old, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Watch WrestleMania. Have a lot of fun. We'll see you next week. Hunter, take us out.
The drip don't stop. Later.